Let me think now. No, I don't think I've ever seen, I don't think I've ever seen your picture, Roy.
I'm the ghost in the machine. Well, there's really no particular place I would think that you would see where my picture. I don't have my picture on my QRZ page, and I've, you know, not been really photographed in any kind of Limewark occasion, so there's really very little to no trail of mine. But as an aside, according to Limewark site, the Hamfest next one, I think, is October 29th on a Sunday.
Yeah, Wesley has a full set of hair. Out of curiosity, do you have a full set of hair, Andy? I mean, here you go, Roy.
Unfortunately, it's receding rapidly. It's the little gift genetically I got from my maternal grandfather.
So I think you're saying you're losing some of it up front?
Yep, such is the nature of things. But the same genetics has this interesting little quirk that my hair is the same color it was when I was a kid. My beard is gray, but the top of my head is just as dark brown as it ever was. That, again, is dear old grandpa.
Of the people in your ancestry, which one of them lived the longest, and what age did they live to? Did anyone get close to 100?
Well, it depends. If I can go to ants, I had an aunt who died at the age of 99, which is a pretty good one. If I go to direct relatives, it's not quite that well. My mother passed away when she was about 83. My father died when he was 69. All my grandparents were dead long before I was born, except for one who unfortunately had a lot of mini strokes and was not all there. So we'd have family history of liver problems. It's nasty, but you know, knock on wood, I seem to be doing reasonably well.
I didn't know that you are superstitious, Roy.
I do it. Joke. It's not like I'm a druid that I think that the evil spirits will be knocked out of the tree when I do that. So, I think it's funny.
Talking to Dr. Roy, and that was like, I said that for the past 200 years, the world has advanced faster than from the beginning of evolution, and I was drawing the picture of apocalypse because of overpopulation, and the way that humanity affected the world, if it's not overpopulation, it is what we destroyed in the natural balance of the earth. What do you think about it, Dick?
That one I haven't thought about. And, is the earth overpopulated? Certain portions of it, yes, are more people than the food supply in that area can supply, droughts and whatever. But farming practices are hugely efficient by comparison to what they were 100 years ago. My paternal side of the family, correction, maternal side of the family were farmers. In fact, my grandfather lived on a farm right up until the time he died. So, farming has come a long way. At the rate the world population is increasing, it could scare you. But the developed nations are starting to use methods of birth control. So, will we ever have ZPG, zero population growth, across the world? We do in certain nations. I think the United States is very close to ZPG. But will the whole world achieve ZPG? I think it's a possibility. What do you think, Roy? KQLIW?
AC2GS. It depends upon us. If we're stupid about it, nature will invoke it upon us. If we're smart about it, we'll do it ourselves in a less traumatic way.
Said what you say is going to happen, whether it is not. So I gave some figures. One of the figures was that a few years ago when I was starting my hunt for free energy, there was 5.5 billion people on the planet Earth. Now we have approximately 4 years. Now it's 7.3, no, 5 years. And it is expected that within the next 2 years, we're going to have 1.5 billion people more. So thinking about the next 15 years, we have a double of population. Thinking about horse, we don't have horses any longer. We don't use them. We don't need them. So that population of those animals shrinked out. And the rest of the wild world is experiencing a problem of freedom of moving anywhere, because anywhere they move, there are humans. How much did we destroy? How many animals we put into extinction? And is it reversible? Also talking about the climate and talking about damage to the world structure that we have done to the ozone layer and to all of the pollution that we put. Is it reversible? Dick.
Yes, I think science will find a way to control these things that will be happening in the near future. I have enough faith in science to believe that we'll find a way of controlling it. But can we control it everywhere at once? There are some definite places in the world where right now there is significant food famine. And trying to help those people certainly is not easy. We're certainly not completely successful right now of doing that. That's a bunch of guesses on my part. Back to you, Wes, KQLIW.
There's another figure. If all of the wars were to end and all of the resources of the humanity were to be concentrated on one simple thing, creating a spaceship to hunt for the shelter for humanity, we would be able to send one spaceship per day into Exxon.
We'd be able to send one spaceship per day to where? That's not clear. Where's that spaceship going?
From the article that I read, it wasn't specified. It was just, we are able to manufacture one spaceship per day. So I assume either that would be near space research or either that would be flights to more far destinations.
We better take very good care of this Earth. because we're going to be, the majority of our population is going to be living here for a long period of time. There are people who try to rationalize that exploring Mars is a good thing to do because that'll give us a place to go. I don't believe that.
I get the sense that the idea of that spaceship is that it's just able to get up and over the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean and then fall into it, killing the people, because that's probably the only cost-effective way of dealing with population with spaceships. There's no way, there's no place to take them. And unless you know the destination, you can't factor in how much it costs to make a ship. And you would probably have to focus the entire productivity of a planet in order to do something like that, which would not be viable long term. So I think it's a bunch of guys who twiddled some numbers at the back of an envelope.
Certainly agree with you. Dick?
Yeah, I certainly agree with you. It doesn't serve a purpose. Just like putting a man on Mars doesn't serve a purpose. Putting a man standing on the middle of the moon doesn't serve a purpose. Neither of those is going to take place. You know, colonize the moon or colonize Mars, multiple lifetimes from now, I think that's not going to take place. If you look at the big picture, it's not a solution to anything.
Yeah, well, the political situation that we have right now, it is more likely that some of North Koreans would actually go nuts, or any other Russians, but that's my fear, not yours. That's all right.
But we're guessing how the Earth ends? That's not very optimistic and not a pleasant way of spending one's time.
The question how much is how much real that picture could be, Dick.
It's something to worry about, but it's not something, it's not a complete showstopper. I don't believe we're going to get into a war over this one. I'd like to believe. And just like Roy said, the end of the Earth, that's not an optimistic thing to think about. John wouldn't be discussing that subject, isn't that true, Roy?
I agree. Plus, I think that he would expect the present political powers to take care of all of this.
I have a different opinion. I'm very closely watching every day, and few hours a day, usually in the morning and evening time, what is going on in Eastern Europe. The situation is extremely, extremely unpleasant. The president of Russia has no way to go, no way to hide himself. He has no shelter, and opposition in Russia is growing up. So Russia turned right now themselves to sort of monarchy when the old government is actually a group of people related by families. So let's say the most known one would be Одноклассники, which is the people from one class of President Putin.
Wes, are you suggesting that Russia might be moving toward a civil war?
I'm going to that. Let me jump. Rothenberg's at the same class with Mr. Putin. Sechin, who is his spokesperson, is he from his class. We have another guy, $14 billion, one of the richest people in England. There is, I have it at the end of my tongue, but anyhow, the whole government is actually nepotism and family members, and it is like one big mafia, and it is not that I think this way, it is this way. One big mafia structure. Medvedev is changing places from time to time with Putin, but Putin is the big mafia boss. So Medvedev, who is prime minister, is also the person who doesn't have a shelter to hide himself. So Putin can only be the president of Russia to the end of his life. But the problem that is there is Navalny. Navalny is the only guy that was left over after the murder of Nemtsov, who was the vice president from the time of the former president of Russia. And this guy is taking a lot of popularity. He's the head of anti-corruption organization, which is the legal organization. And he was able, just for one video that he put on YouTube, within approximately 1 month, to get about 18 million of viewers. And now it's about 30 million of viewers, maybe 26 million, just for one video, but he has hundreds of them. And he's exposing all of that scheme. So, roughly, President Putin is $160 billion to $200 billion. Medvedev is about $75 billion. And Rosneft, which is the oil company that is right now also under the reason that there was another a guy who was a multimillionaire who was in prison for 9 years, that was, forget his name, was because he didn't want to pay the bribe to Putin. So now he's he was able to get out of the jail and he left Russia. So now he's supporting the opposition. And where is the problem? The problem is that Putin is very much unpredictable. And if Putin has no place to go, he might as well say, there is no me, there is nobody. There is also one factor that is talking against that, which is his two former wives, where one of them is in France with a big, huge, humongous real estate property that they have. Medvedev has a huge a winery in Italy, so he was able, he's got it a few years ago, he was able to change the law in Russia for the wine to be no longer alcohol, but to be a product of agriculture. So he would be able to sell it. But none of them could have had that property legally, so what they did is they put it in the name of the other people. And other people have a simple solution, either to be the way that they Putin wants them, or to die. So that's one of the things. The second thing is, about a week ago, the Russia informally, like they do it, accused Ukraine for developed for giving the rocket engines used for North Korea rockets to North Korea. That was, of course, it's nothing the truth of it, just to hide the fact that right now it is more and more news talking about Russia giving delivery of those rocket engines to North Korea, which they look like Ukraine. And why Ukraine is important? Because Ukraine was major manufacturing of all of the engines, including the engines that were used for the space ships in the United States of America. And that is perfectly known to everybody. So the rockets... the rockets that were launched by North Korea uses the engines that are very much similar to those who were produced in Ukraine. So Ukraine answer was, government answer was 3 days ago that it is hard to say if those are the Ukrainian rocket engines that were produced prior to 1989, but it is definitely proven that Russia got several of them, of those rocket engines, when Ukraine was announcing their independence. Dr. Roy.
KC2GS. Yeah, okay. You've kind of done this before, I understand. I mean, you know, they have a wonderful term for the government in Russia. It's called a kleptocracy, you know, from klepto, stealing. So it's a government based on stealing. It's as if the mobsters from Chicago ran the entire country. It's an interestingly awful way of running a government. It usually burns itself out rather quickly, as it's doing there, because there's no one who wants to invest in anything, because as soon as you make a profit, these guys steal it from you. So you end up with this big lump of raw supplies that you could sell to other people, but nothing else.
The part that is worrying me the most is that Russia is based on fear, but North Korea is based on fanatism. Russia is actually helping Korea to be more fanatic with years, because North Korea has nothing. They have no money. And they have the life the way that it was in Russia many years ago. But Russia is the major power that is supporting North Korea. So if the fear of the Tsar make the Tsar to launch the nuke, I would say that it's more possible that North Korea may like to launch the nuke, because the boss of North Korea is also worried about his life. So if there is no him, there's nobody.
Repeater, time out.
Sorry about it. The good thing is that North Korea is not in power of launching so many nukes that could destroy the life. It is going to be part of the world that is affected. But that's what I think, Dr. Ray.
AC2GS. Well, it's my understanding, actually, that China supports them a great deal more than Russia ever does. All the banking gets done through China using third parties, and a lot of the raw materials are shuffled back and forth that earn Korea any kind of resource money that they can buy technology from Russia and such. So it's China that's doing most of the controlling, and they want Korea to be two separate places that the United States doesn't control, and so they're going to try and keep it that way. I don't think Russia wants to blow up the world. I don't think Putin is insane. I think he's a thief. I think he's a thug. I think he's a villain, but I don't think he's crazy. And I think that if he gets thrown out, he will cobble together a few billion dollars, buy himself an island someplace, and retire quietly. I don't think he's going to make the world go boom, but what the hell do I know?
Looks like Dick is away. Well, Roy, we'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong, and it will be good, and nothing is going to happen. But if it's going to happen, then what can I say? I believe that if you put dog into the cage and try to do the harm to him, he's going to do anything possible to ease out his pain and to exhale.
I'll tell you what, if Putin blows up the world, I owe you a cup of coffee. How's that?
That would be a good solution. How's that? Yeah. Do you still have a dick?
No,
4:30. Oh, 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. Right. What you gonna be doing tomorrow?
Oh, it's today. So what am I gonna be doing today? Probably, God knows for the first few hours, but some guy wants to check out my shack later in the day, so I'll be running a tour in the afternoon. But until then, I'm probably not going to have a functional brain.
When I go home, I might go to bed. I'm going to sleep. Yeah. It was a beautiful night. What do you say?
That's after
Roy. Yeah, that's after Roy. Right. Diana is asking, where is Richard?
Not sure. Maybe it's another nap. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, gosh. Are we going to wrap it up?
I would like to share a few things.
Okay, go ahead.
Whoever's still here among us, I really appreciate it. I didn't think I'd be able to stay up till 5 a.m., and I know you guys. And Mr. Nadel, hello, I think you're napping again. I would love to listen to this on a recording. However, you guys asked me to give you a couple of tidbits about my father, John Beck. I just wanted to let you know, I really respected my father. I looked up to him, and I was always on his coattails, no matter what he did. Richie Citron was here, and he looked through the toolbox. I could name every tool. Not a problem, because I grew up. No girl knows that, but I do, and people take it for granted. I didn't know. We don't know those things. It's very important, and I'm glad I did. John William Beck Jr. is the most decent man I know. He treated my mother like a queen. He didn't let her take advantage of him, though. He also taught me how a young man should treat a woman as I got older. And when we went out to restaurants, he told me, order anything you like, anything you want, order something different every time. So. This is how you learn. See what you like and what you don't like. Send it back if you don't like it. And anybody who is to date, they were not to show up in a car and beep out front, God forbid. They had to come in and represent themselves. It really, really taught me the proper way that man should treat a woman. Also, we went on vacation. My mother and father took my brother and I on very expensive vacations, which I know many children do not enjoy with their parents. Also, I wanted to, I just wanted to let people know, this is a funny thing to me. I went into Notre Dame Academy in freshman year. When I went to science class, the science teacher talked, and then he said, is there anyone here in the class that knows what this is? And he pointed to something very smugly, as nobody's going to know the answer. And I looked up and I said, oh, that's an oscilloscope. He didn't know what to say. He said, you need to see me after class. How do you know that? I said, I've looked at them my whole life, since I've been growing up. Also, I want to let anybody know, when I was younger, and I was punished for something I did wrong, which my parents were very, very strict, my mother would say, that's it. You're punished. Go to work with your father. I would go to work with my father. I would love it. Love it. I would go with him. He worked for a company at the time. He had his own shop upstairs. They never, ever told him what to do. He said, come here. I'm going to set you up. He would give me my own bench. He would give me a TVs, computer, whatever it was at the time. A set of tools and say, go to it. Take it apart. Ask me anything you want. I'll be over here. And he did his work. And that's how I learned. And I became so interested. And my father made it so pleasant to go to work with him. He spent most times going to, he said, come on, let's go. And we went to the shop four times a day. What do you want to drink? What do you want to, here, corn muffins. That's how I learned about egg creams. You know, things like that. Ice cream. The old soda shops. He was wonderful, wonderful to me. I'm going to miss him so much. And to hear what you guys were saying about him is wonderful. And every night I come into the office here. My father's not here, but I still switch on the amplifier and the Kenwood. As I go on and check emails and do what I have to do on the computer, I've been listening to you guys for 8 years. 8 years. And it gives me a warm feeling. I know I can't talk any other night than tonight. Thank you so much. I'm not licensed. I know that. But this is wonderful. And I really didn't think I was going to stay up till 5 o'clock. Mr. Needle, you're supposed to be up right now. I want to thank you. I want to thank Jerry Abrams. I really want to thank Richie Citron. My father called you Richie Limark. That's why I had so much trouble trying to find phone numbers to call you guys to let you know what happened. nasty.
Victory.
Gosh, Donna, you told us so much, and it was a pleasure listening to it. I don't know exactly what to ask. You know, he was a great guy on the air. Obviously, he was a great father. Usually, I think these things kind of go together, fortunately. So it's good to hear that John was consistent. And I didn't believe at any time the curmudgeonly misanthrope he liked to describe himself as. He just wasn't that way to me, and I didn't think he was that way to anyone else. So it's been a pleasure being here tonight, and this is exactly what I wanted to happen, to kind of run into the, barely into the dawn. So I thank you for coming along for this ride with us, and I thank everyone out there who's listening in who kept the ball in the air.
WGP. This is Donna Beck in place of John. I will be listening to you guys. I know I can't speak any other night. I don't have a license.
Okay, Donna. KC2WGB for John. It was a pleasure. And, if I'm here on the repeater, I will throw out your name just to say hello. This is 73, Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, going clear. I think everyone needs to have a good night's sleep now. I know I do.
This was really wonderful, and I really appreciate it. You are so wonderful, all of you guys.
Well, your father was too.
Oh, definitely. Definitely he was.
I was listening.
Yeah. Dr. Ray. How did we make it 5 o'clock in the morning?
I don't want to disparage you, but on my part, it's sheer insanity.
Yeah, I have to drive home, but it's not going to be a problem because this time of the day, there's not supposed to be too much traffic, so I'm not worried about it. I don't even know what to say more. And to extend.
I don't exactly know how Donna wants me to kind of compose this audio file if she likes to use web browsers and download it herself, whether she wants a thumb drive. I don't know what media serves her purpose.
Drive. The thumb drive would be the best.
Okay, I'll see how much it comes to in space and see what I can do.
Yeah, thank you very much. Where is it you're reading now? Mr. Ray, that was for you. What is it you're reading? What kind of literature that you're reading? At this time, I mean not today, but what is did you absorb with recently?
Well, Lately, I've just been reading science fiction. I assume that you don't, you've never read Dune, but I kind of like Dune, and so every so often I go back to it. I remember when I mentioned, I think to John, that I read fiction, and he kind of disparaged that a bit, and just to compound the problem, I told him that I reread fiction, and that really annoyed him.
Donna just made a comment, so I understand that he was trying to live in the reality of fact, and science fiction was a temporary, not really waste of time, it was bringing him to the world that doesn't exist. He was in the feeling that there is not enough time in his life for science fiction, because it's a fiction.
And,
well, yeah, Star Trek. Yeah, he loves Star Trek. Star Trek.
Like most people, John is a bit complicated. Not completely consistent, but only machines are consistent.
So, do you expect for the next 5 years the machine to replace people at least in 20% of its population from the job that they're doing now?
Possibly, but then you also have to factor in that there will be job requirements for things that we can't even begin to imagine. So, you know, it's like buggy whips. Yeah, that's true. You can't make a living making buggy whips anymore, but, you know, there are other things that you can do that you couldn't do back in the days of buggy whips.
So you expect that overall education will bring the new generation to the point at which they would be much higher than we are now?
Hope so, or unfortunately, otherwise they'll just be specialized to small, narrow niches where they're able to accomplish the complicated feats that they're required to make. You know, life always finds a way.
The best jobs right now are electrician and plumber. Wouldn't it tell you that maintenance is something that could not be replaced, but how much of the maintenance we could do for anything and everything and to exchange?
There's also a never-ending increase in the service industries because people like to be, like to have services from other people. And so, it's a little bit of a circular firing squad in some ways, but in the end, again, I think it will work. I'm not the most optimistic human being in the world, but I think that in the short haul, we have a better future than you seem to think we do.
Do you expect China to become another Japan?
I do, but then, you know, Japan had a dip as well. So China most likely will have 1, 2, 3, 20, 100 dips. You know, nothing's a sure thing. But yeah, I think that they will go in the same general direction as Japan did.
With one exception, they don't have a structure that is made for profitability and the growth of the nation in the same way as the Japan did. They are still communist country, and they are still based on the cheap labor, which Japan is not.
It depends upon which stage of development you're talking about. If you're talking about 1950, then there's no difference. They had cheap labor and poor quality, too. I think that they are smart enough that they are courting off profitable niches within their government. I don't think they're strict Maoists anymore. There's a lot of very, very ridiculously wealthy Chinese these days, and I think that's going to grow more and more, and I think the sales force, the number of people who are working, are going to have an increase in their income, just the way it happens in, you know, all the other developing countries. So, again, I don't think the Chinese are dogmatists. I don't think they're stupid. So I you know, they might not get it all in one fell swoop, but I think after a couple of falling down and getting up, they'll follow a vaguely similar path that Japan made.
For the Japanese population, there was always capitalism, which was a friendly economical structure for the business to grow, and for Chinese, it is a half slavery. That's what I think, that is making all of the profit. When the masses want to have a comfort because of their work, the first what the masses want is increase of wages, and that automatically will ruin most of the incentives of the government of China to make that country closer to the level of life they have in Japan. And to Asia.
I don't know. The last time I checked, feudal Japan was not the most capitalist structure in the world. And I don't know. This is all supposition on both of our parts. And I think it will be a gradual rise, but it will coincide with an increase in quality. And if they're able to offset the labor costs with increased productivity and higher quality, then they'll survive. If they can't, then they'll collapse. Again, they're not particularly stupid people. They know these things. So I expect them to act somewhat rational.
I had Khan many times in my house, and he said that he makes somewhere between 16 and 20,000 per month, US dollars, and this is kind of normal for his position and the level of technicality. I don't think China is anywhere close.
No, they're not close, but again, back in 1950s, Japan wasn't paying anyone anything close to that. So you got to start from someplace. You can't simply take a country that has an economy that's incredibly mature to the point where it's dubious whether they can get that much of an improvement versus a very, very immature early economy that's still growing rather significantly. It's, you know, you're looking at two curves at two different timelines, and you're trying to compare the two, and it doesn't quite work that way.
Maybe because my way of thinking comes from knowing how the totalitarian regimes are structured, and I rather think about Japan as a huge respect to monarchy or monarchical structure instead of, like in China, a structure of a regime, where the regime is more vulnerable to the changes than generation in Japanese culture and tradition.
Perhaps not. We'll know down the line. But the trouble is you can't compare it with East Europe, because East Europe, in my understanding, was that they were never experimental with finances. They would never give people individual control and individual profits. So it all went back to the same bank account, and all you got for all your fine work was, if you were lucky, a dacha. But that's not how the Chinese are playing it. They're allowing their business people to make money off of this. It's very self-evident in all the money they're wasting all over the world. So I think it's a slightly different model, and they might get away without a distinctly democratic free state. Or it may come to some point and then tip over and fall. We'll see.
There was interesting discussion that I had with John, which was about totalitarianism. Americans were to blame for what happened to the world, because they opened up the door for Chinese products to America and the Western world. And if that wouldn't happen, China would be in that feudalism or some kind of strange mix of feudalism it was before, and to Xi'an.
Perhaps. I don't have an alternate history on the planet. I tend to believe in free trade. I think it leads to stability and efficiencies. Unfortunately, some people, it causes more problems than it solves, but anything that you do is going to cause someone problems. The idea is to cause the least with the most efficient and the least amount of people killing each other, in my opinion. But, you know, there are guys out there who would like to lock the place up and make believe that it was like Japan was back when they isolated themselves. That didn't really work out well for the Japanese, and I don't think it would work well for us either.
Okay, Dr. Roy, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Thank you very much for your time and your heart and your thoughts and your feelings and everybody else. I do thank you, Dick. I do thank you, everybody else.
Yes.
This is Wesley. And Donna, hold on.
This is beyond belief that all of you, that loved my father. I always loved him, always knew he was close to God, very intelligent. And I'll be looking at Google for answers. No longer my father, unfortunately.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Roy. You're a great man. I would hug you if I could.
Send me the puzzles. Puzzles? The harder, the better. Send them to me. There was no puzzle he could not find the answer to.
Thank you, Donna. And to exit.
John was a problem solver, and he solved other people's problems, he solved his own problems, and we will all miss him. And Donna, it was a pleasure talking to you tonight, and I wish you the best of luck with your procedure that's coming up, and I wish you be well, and hopefully you'll hear us call out your name on the radio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Roy. Have a good night.
I will be listening. every night from 8 o'clock on, and Sundays always.
Thank you very much.
Okie doke, once again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, and this was the John Beck KC2WGB Memorial Net. You can call it a ham wake, you could call it a radio wake, you can call it an Irish wake, you could call it a wake on the air. But whatever it is, it was dedicated to the memory of John Beck, and he deserved it, and God bless all of you guys and gals who had anything to do with keeping it alive there. So this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra saying good night, and talk to you some more down the road, down the log.
Good night.
KC2DIG. Thank you, gentlemen. Nice job.